This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is a Phonic Media production.
Guys, a conversation that I never expected to have. Something big has happened. Hayley has been fired. How the devil are you, you sexy coconuts? I'm stealing that one from Cat Slater.
Really?
Not Cat Slater, Cat Slade.
You ain't my mother!
You ain't my mother!
I think I could be on EastEnders. Another conversation. Sorry.
Maybe when this podcast gets big enough. Do you know what? Rosie Ramsey was hosting like half of Comic Relief on Friday.
Legend.
She's good though. She's very funny. I imagine the podcast. Was she known before?
Yeah.
I think she was.
Yeah.
Because she can sing and stuff as well. Mm. Oh, okay, fine. I'll take it all back. It's got fuck all to do with the podcast. Shit. It's not actually. It's a very good podcast. Shag Married Annoyed. If you like a couple of podcasts that are genuinely funny.
Yeah.
Well put together. Don't talk about their woes every single week. Then go and check that one out. Yeah. Anyway, today on the podcast. Oh, this one could be awkward. Guys, Hayley has got the sack.
Oh my God. Hayley's, I never thought it was going to happen.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hang on a second though. Isn't Hayley, didn't she run her own thing? Doesn't she have her own company? How on earth can she get sacked? Guys, it gets worse.
Yeah, it gets worse. Do you know who I got fired by?
Who did you get sacked by?
Do you know who sacked me? James. James.
Sometimes in life, you have to make a decision.
Absolutely outrageous.
Let the shit people go.
I've been in mourning. I should have worn black.
I've sacked her.
I've sacked her, guys.
She absolutely sacked her off.
So today's podcast is... I've sacked my wife,
yeah.
In the words of Alan Sugar, you're fired.
You're fired!
You're fired!
That's how he talks, doesn't he?
We're going to explain. There was no...
Palomine's on The Actual Apprentice at the moment.
Is he?
He's still in it. I think he might win it, because obviously they know by the time this comes out, will it have come out? I'm not sure. But anyway, they know... I don't think they know who wins, but they know who's got to the final.
Yeah.
And he's very confidently having all of his pals to go to watch parties every Thursday at some private members club.
I know what's happening.
Like, okay. Shout out Trello. Good luck.
Obviously, we didn't know we were going to be talking about The Apprentice, but I absolutely love that show.
I
haven't watched it recently because I just found like a few years ago, it just got a little bit...
A bit like pantomime, wasn't it?
And I'd sit there just being like, really? Really? Can you be that silly? But then I suppose in the actual situation... You don't know, like the pressure you're under, all of these big egos and personalities.
Well, we've done some TV stuff as well, haven't we? Not a great deal of TV stuff.
What have I done? I've been on a shit GMTV segment with Phil Tufnell.
Claim to fame.
I think my arm was in Psychic Sally on the Road.
Hairy bottom of your arm.
Fuck you. Sorry, I'm trying not to swear as much. I've already let myself down.
Yeah. Hayley watched a clip back the other day. She went, you can't even put it out because it's basically like, fuck.
I was like, look, I'm all for authenticity. All for authenticity. But I was a bit like, oh my God, if like... Just someone's thinking about working with me and then they see this. It's like,
oh, she's got a podcast. Oh, this is so funny. Rock off, bro.
I don't think I want my
female empowerment business helped by this person.
So there was no gross misconduct involved here.
We haven't finished off the TV bit. But TV, like you say.
What TV star? Oh, because you've been on GB News. You've been on X Factor. Oh, you're such a star, James.
I'm not saying that, am I? But
God.
I'm saying about like
so
what you...
So embarrassing.
You're embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
You've got, your claim to fame is Phil, you with Phil Tufnell and your fucking hairy arm and psychic self.
Fuck off, take your arm. Yeah, on a boat. In Fort Ventura.
With Sally.
No, we feel tough enough.
Sally thinks, have you seen Psychic Sally recently?
Oh, let's not. It's not.
Oh, my God.
Let's not go there.
Let's not go there.
Let's just say it does make me question, because lately, I've got to be honest, my friend posted a picture of me the other day eating a piece of carrot cake, and the amount of wrinkles on my face, I was like, I think I might have to take the plunge into the world of Botox. But we have this conversation. You're like, no, no, fine. No. And then
you're beautiful the way you are. You're rough around the edges. We know you're rough around the edges.
I have deteriorated in the last year, I would say. I think the sort
going
of
downhill
like,
fast,
the
guys.
Drama and the lifestyle has maybe just taken its toll, shall we
the
say.
The drama and the lifestyle.
Like just all the, you know, we've you had a lot of drama last oh, year yeah. and just all sorts of things. But then there's certain people that you look at and you go,
they go too far.
Shit, that is why I'm not going to have it. But that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying. Anyway, why all are you I'm talking about TV? Why are you
like
talking about being a big TV
up
star?
The fucking bike pump. Anyway, yeah, because TV, like what we're saying with the Apprentice stuff,
yeah,
it's obvious that they put them in situations to make it more entertaining. Because yeah. if you just had a general business, it would be fucking boring, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but like some of their negotiation skills, you're like, really? Like,
and they try to get like another pound off, like,
come on, 2p off. 2p
in a bazaar like, in like Morocco or something. Yeah. I worked with a guy from The Apprentice as well.
Did
Joseph
you?
Joseph Valente. He won it. Joseph Valente won it. He was an interesting character.
Interesting guy.
He's a very interesting character. Some people know how to play the TV game though.
Yeah.
I think Trey will play the TV game very well. He's already famous. He was out of Architects.
Oh.
Make your body grow. You got to let your body grow.
You love that song, don't you? But you ruin it. We're sort of like digressing, but like we're talking about TV.
Don't want to talk
and
about
then it got me thinking about you. Are exciting. James is going to be a West End star.
Guys.
Seriously, like his other podcast that is like listened to by lots of people gives really good solid business advice.
Not like this.
Do you want to plug the show, James?
Yeah, please do. It's called Business Broadcast. It's me and my good mate, James Sinclair, mm-hmm. who runs 20 odd businesses. Does about 40 million quid a year in turnover.
Yeah.
And he had a podcast, which I launched for him, actually.
I remember.
Back in the day. It all goes full circle. So it does. You're right over there, Slurpy McSlurpton. Slurping, aren't you? And not in a good way.
So bad.
It's called Business Broadcast.
What was that?
Fucking Gollum. The show's called... I need to wee. It's called Business Broadcast. It gives actual business advice to business owners. He's been doing it for like three episodes.
And they're doing a show in the West End.
Yeah, West End. We're
very
going to the West End
in June.
We're going to be a star.
When they know the deets, guys, the deets. James
Don't
hates
ever
when
say
I abbreviate.
The deets. I already know the deets.
I need a tissue.
It's June the 10th. Monday, the 10th of June.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Only cost £32.
Watch
including
out. Tickets
VAT.
Will be on sale soon.
Tickets are on sale right
tickets
now.
Tickets are on sale.
Go to jamesinclair.net.
Did you get me one then?
No.
Why not?
You have VIP access, babe.
I want to be front row.
You get VIP, babe.
Front
you
row,
know,
throwing
you know,
tomatoes at you.
You know the talent. And a lot
anyway,
of people say, can we come
anyway,
and bring fruit and throw it?
The reason I was singing that, because I went to see a musical at the weekend, Moulin Rouge. It's amazing.
My
if
gift
you haven't
is
seen.
My song.
And this one's for you. It's so good. But I sat there, and me and James, in my diary for like in about 2 weeks' time, it says business marriage at the London Palladium. Because we told ourselves 2 years ago that, yeah, that was going to happen. Obviously, then we had a year off. Didn't quite work out.
No.
But I sat there watching the show.
No, we had 1 year. It was 1 year ago.
Was it?
We went to the Palladium to see High Performance Podcast.
Yeah.
We were like, in a year today, we will be here.
And then I sat there going, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. One day, business marriage is going to be on stage. And it's going to be funny. And it's going to be audience participation. There's going to be singing, dancing, business advice, family fun.
All that stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm putting it out there to the universe because then it might happen. Anyway.
That manifesting thing. We talked about manifesting
oh
a few weeks
God,
ago,
God, guys.
We, on the podcast. You've made your niece manifest.
So
she manifested a job.
So my family and friends probably are used to me sort of like pushing this kind of positivity, personal development, you know, like read this book. Anyway, my niece was talking about manifesting and I was like, honestly, I'm reading this book by Jen Sincero. It's amazing. And it's really just changed how I think about everything. So even now, like, for example, this is a really, really stupid example. But you know when you go to the supermarket to get like a few bits and then you get to the till and it's like 95 quid and you think, what the fuck have I bought? And in that moment, you're like, oh, my God. I've just spent 95 quid, like...
On lunch
what have I
three
bought?
People.
Right. Instead of feeling like that, it's almost like I've just spent £95 and I get to feed all of my friends who are coming over for lunch and this is so nice. It's almost like trying to shift the way you feel about things. Anyway, so I was speaking to her. She was going for a job interview and I was like, right, you need to get into this manifesting. You need to really think about, you know, that, like, look at the positives, like, be grateful for what you've got. Think of yourself, say how great you are. And I sent her the book and she said she's going to start reading it. Anyway, she went for this interview and she got the job. And she said to me, and I was like, wow. She said, I told myself every day, I'm getting that job. I'm going to get that job.
Did she?
I'm getting that job. And I was like, oh my God.
I'm giving her a round of applause.
Olivia, she won't listen, but
we love you. I think you're great. Good on you.
But honestly, so I have been consciously manifesting. So it's almost like, and honestly, this week I've been a little bit, when I got fired, it's kind of made me go a little bit like, ooh, we'll come on to that. But no, in all jokes aside, just thinking about, like, the gratefulness of everything. So, yeah. So, like, this weekend I was away and I sat on the train and I just remember really savouring that moment of, like, how lucky am I that I get to go and do this weekend? So it's like little things like that. Also reading a really good book. Can I plug it?
Yeah.
It's a client, Gordon Burcham. He's written a book called Live Life Happy. And I'm obviously reading it because I'm working with him as a client. But honestly, it's so good. And it talks through kind of that kind of manifesting gratefulness, almost like taking 100% ownership of you.
Mm-hmm.
Every choice is down to you.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's a situation, you don't like your job, it's down to you.
Yeah.
You can change it. And yeah. I'm like, wow, this stuff is serious, like serious stuff. And it's like the things that you put in your head before you go to bed, for example.
Mm.
Like if you're reading like a book that's like filling your brain with like some good stuff, like you're going to sleep on that. So it's good. And just that real like love, affection, being given, not always taking, that kind of thing. So
I think you touched on something really important there, though.
Did I? Yeah,
you did, finally, after so long. It was the fact that you were grateful for the little things, because I think this manifesting here, where people get it kind of a little bit wrong, is they, you know, I'm going to manifest the house, I'm going to manifest the car, I'm going to manifest the husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, partner of my dreams. That's quite big shit.
Yeah.
Like that's, don't get me wrong.
Don't
manifest a big shit. Don't go to the downstairs toilet, by the way. I manifested a right big shit earlier.
Oh, he's not having a good time.
Come on in. She's fuming. Anyway, she's not. But I think if you look for the tiny, tiny little things, like being grateful for being on the train.
Yeah.
How grateful that you, in 20 minutes you're in London. How grateful that you get to go and spend the weekend with your friend. How
that
grateful
is
100% that you don't have to, you know, have the kids' sort of time scales dictate your weekend for once.
And it's the balance of it's okay to say or like to think of the bigger goals and the visions
and things
you want.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's about being grateful for what you have at that time and looking for like the love. I know it sounds like really corny, but like
it's
the love and like the good things that you've got surrounding you.
You get more of what you look
like,
for.
You know
you
that
do
thing.
Get more of what you
and
look for.
Gordon talks about all of this in the book as well. It's a really good read. And you know, like those little things. You know, when you wake up and you get out of bed and you tread on something and you hurt your foot, and then you go downstairs and you're like, oh, you can't find anything to eat. The milk's run out. And then you go out to the petrol station and you're like, oh my God, I forgot my wallet. You know, like those days where like everything's like, ugh. And then you could find that you keep having more of those moments. We've spoken about this before. And I'm aware of that now. Like, okay, change the state. But it's almost like, imagine that in your everyday life. So everything you tell yourself every day, that becomes your subconscious. So if someone's always saying, oh, I'm not good enough, I can't do that, I'm not as good as them.
Like, which Olivia would have done before, wouldn't she, to be
fair? That is what you're telling yourself. Yeah, yeah. And in the book, and I didn't mean to do a big plug, but in the book it says about us, we should love ourselves more than anyone. We should be so in love with ourselves, right? We should, do you see what I mean? We should love ourselves more than anyone else.
You love yourself.
No, but this is what, so you've just proved a really good example.
Oh here we go.
Because what they're saying is that society do tell us, oh, she loves herself. Oh, who do they think they are? Do you know what I mean? So you almost like make yourself
small.
Well, a little bit. So really, imagine telling yourself every day, I'm great. I'm great at what I do. This is like what I'm meant to, like this is my purpose.
A fella
how,
that I
how
know.
How good do I look? Or how good do I... Do you know what I mean? Not in like a big-headed one, I'm doing it again, but...
A guy that I know called Spencer Lodge. Very, very, very successful guy. Lives out in Dubai, runs a big finance company. Super, on every really sort of nice metric, guy. He's very, very successful.
Smells great.
Yeah, because he's rich.
He's always got rich people.
Yeah, he just stinks of money, doesn't he? Money and opportunity.
What do you think we smell like?
Dog shit.
I think you just smell like...
Must.
Yeah. Just like a bit of...
Do you know what I reckon you smell like?
You know, like when your clothes haven't quite dried properly, that sort of like...
You smell them like day-old meat in the fridge.
When it's like a bit off.
Yeah, a little bit like that bacon that's got to start getting dry and crusty on the edge. That's what you smell, so fuck you. Anyway, Spencer Lodge, he stares into the blacks of his pupils every day for 3 minutes.
Love that.
But he's like, you look into your own soul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was someone who nearly took his own life because he was so miserable. His stories, you know, he really, really didn't want to be here anymore. And for all intents and purposes, he had all of the trappings of success, but he was just in himself, was so sad and miserable and discontent and unsettled. And then he started doing this thing, he's like staring into the blacks of the pupils of your eyes for 3 minutes a day. Ooh. And he's like, it's weird, the conversations like you have with yourself. And he's like, I'm standing there now, looking,
I'm standing.
He's standing there now, telling himself that he loves himself for 3 minutes, just staring at himself.
But there is this, I read Mel Robbins's book, and there's that whole like high five yourself in the mirror, where you stand, look in the mirror. So like there is a thing of like looking. We had...
That's a good way to make a living, isn't it?
High five
a mirror.
Star, confidence, that Louis has, where you look in, you say, I am somebody, I like myself. You know, there's obviously a lot to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Still
scared around the issue of you being sacked, aren't we?
Yeah, anyway, so basically...
Basically, I sacked Hayley. Had to make some decisions. Had to take some action. Get rid of her.
No, I feel like I need to defend myself, actually. On Friday, was it Friday or Thursday? I just literally come home, bearing in mind I was going away the next day, so I wasn't seeing him the whole weekend. He was like, yes, I've just employed a graphic and website designer. I was like...
In my defence, I didn't know I was going to do it.
Anywho.
In my defence, I went out for lunch and I came back with... leading graphic designer who used to work at Facebook.
He was like, yes, not going to need you anymore.
Uncomfortable.
So, no, but we're joking and we're not... No, it is actually real. But we thought it was actually a really good thing to talk about because I imagine that... I mean, let me give some context. So, as you know, me and James both have our own companies.
Everybody's already
Phonic listened. And Orange Lamb.
Come on, give me
helping
context.
You stand out in your field.
Gives herself a little punt, didn't she?
Yeah. That's really off-putting and annoying.
I was just hoping it would speed the fucking thing up.
We've both got our own businesses, but we cross over. See, if you're watching live.
What are you doing? You're scissoring yourself.
Come here, a scissor. But we cross over. So, for example, if I have a client that, say, wanted a podcast, I would push them in James's direction. Doesn't happen very
I was about to say, fucking hell, how many...
Normally, I'd just be like, can you give them a phone call for free?
That's exactly what you do. What have you ever bought to the party for me? Nothing.
Oh, what? And I haven't helped you, you know?
No, but I'm saying...
We're going to argue now. How many times, if I actually tallied up what you actually owe me financially for the work I've done...
Yeah, but I pay you in sex tokens,
you'll probably be bankrupt right now.
I pay you in sex tokens,
you don't. You fucking don't. Because I would not take that payment. Do you know what I'd take?
I'm a refund.
You cooking dinner. That's what I'd take payment on. You cooking fucking dinner. I sat there last night going, how am I doing this every night? Anyway, another story.
Oh, my good
anyway,
God.
Another story.
Woe is
James
me
is
after your
an
weekend
empire,
away.
So James
Fuck
can't
it.
Be around.
Here we go.
Because James is building an empire.
Did I drop the kids off Monday? Did I drop them off Tuesday?
Am I still around sorting them out? Yeah. Yeah.
I think you better carry on.
Anyway.
Before you get yourself in trouble.
I forgot what I was... I've actually forgotten what I was saying. What was we talking about?
Is that your brain again?
Oh.
Your brain switching off again.
So I work with James for years. I've done like podcast artwork. And if you've got clients that need website design and et cetera. So it's been really great. And then lately, he's had so many people that need this like extra design work that he's like saying, right, I've got all of this. But at the same time, Orange Lamb's getting loads more clients. And it has been a bit like, oh my God, how am I going to facilitate this? I've obviously got an amazing senior designer that's coming to work with me.
But oh, it's like a designer off, isn't it? I've got one.
Oh God,
I've got
maybe
one.
We
Let's
should have an episode.
And make them fight.
Yeah, fight. We'll put those big suits
with
on. Like, anyway, but we had that conversation that one day it's going to get to the point where you're going to have to bring it in-house because two things. Number one, you want someone in the team who's there that someone can go, oh, can you do this for me sort of thing? Not like have to rely on me and it's in like a job. I mean, I do obviously prioritise stuff, but you know what I mean? It's in a job flow. And the other thing is financially. So like, as you know, if you employ a member of staff, you're going to get probably a lot more out of that member of staff who's employed than if you're paying like freelance rates for like serial design work, etc.
Expensive freelance rates.
I mean, it's not really, we think about it, because I've pretty much done your last 4 months' work for free. So let's not go there. So it was inevitably going to happen, but it's just that we hadn't quite had that conversation. So it's a bit interesting because we've got a few projects that we're still going to be working on together. But moving forward, that's it, no more.
It's over. It's over, guys. We're
time to say goodbye. Awful.
Lovely.
Fucking awful.
Lovely. But in my defence, and I feel like I have to defend myself here, I genuinely didn't know it was going to happen. So my business partner, Paul, he used to run a very successful architects firm. And when he did, he scaled up from 14 staff to 126 staff in 18 months. So he went very, very, very quick, very quick. And it was a big success. And he was Barclays' fastest growing small business.
Where's that underpinning to speed it up?
So Paul has come in and he said, hey, basically, you're an idiot. Let me take over. I'm going to be the chief operational officer now, and I'm also going to be the finance director. You are going to be a sales monkey. And all you're going to do, monkey boy, is go out there and sell the services. So off I went. And he said, I've got a great... Anyway, he had the great graphic designer. So as part of his agency when he was running it, there was this guy called Nico who he's always... Paul doesn't like people.
Yeah.
Paul, in fact, Paul hates people. Paul doesn't, if he could work by himself in a small room, like me, he would do that.
Yeah.
I've only ever heard him say nice things about Nico. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Nice. Only this guy ever.
Yeah.
And then this guy, because he's from Spain, hola, all of our Spanish friends, he needs a job rather than to be freelance because he's having to do all this stuff for Brexit because his wife's stuck in Seville.
Okay, I get
anyway,
it. You're important now. So
he...
moving on.
So Paul's like, I'm going to get him in to come and do some stuff for a project that Paul's working on. And then so the guy came in and he's like, oh, let's go and have lunch. So you get to have a chat to Nico. And nice went out for a chicken sheesh, a chicken baity.
Wazir.
I went to Wazir, obviously. Standard. It's the only place I ever go to eat. And... came back with a graphic designer who's just gone from Facebook and Vodafone to Ilford.
Jokes aside, like I said to you, didn't I? I'm so proud. Like, and in a way, like, yeah, I'm going to be 100% honest. There were a few moments over the last few days where I've gone a little bit like, gone back to that questioning myself. Oh my God, like, am I as good as I think I am? Then I'm like, no, I'm fucking great.
Yeah.
No, but also it's that, it was that kind of like, are we now in competition with each other? But our markets are just so different.
Exactly.
But I've always been a bit like that, haven't I? A bit like when there's like a big change or like I can go a bit, oh, how does this make me feel? But I'm seeing it more as positive.
Well, it got to the point where you didn't actually have the time to do our work anyway.
No, I've got so many great projects on.
And it was we've got 4 or 5 social media clients now, and they all need stuff constantly and consistently. So it was pretty much getting to a full-time space.
And that's the thing as well, right? Like, sorry, you go.
No, you go. It was also a hire that I had no intention to make at this point. So for me, at the moment, we need another... we're recruiting at the moment for a social media person. Yeah,
we're going to be in beans for a while, basically.
Editor. But we're not, because we've got loads of projects on the go.
No, it's good. No, it makes so much sense.
But it's interesting, and we talked about this in previous episodes, you are the average of the 5 people that you spend most time with. And I think it's really important to get, and this is when you do your mastermind and this sort of stuff, you need to get around people who will push you outside your comfort zone. Because
100%.
Someone like a Nico, as a lead designer who's moved from Facebook and Vodafone,
you're like,
they come with a chunky salary and like, shit, this is hefty.
And now you can just work calls...
Exactly, I can just workhorse him.
That's
so
it.
I've gone Hayley has now gone from being my workhorse. Here you go, she's no longer the workhorse. I'm no longer her cash cow, bringing in all of her leads.
You weren't my cash cow, you cheeky. You were not bringing in all my leads, you cheeky. If anything, I was just doing you little back favours. No, we've got a few projects though, so I'm still excited about that. And we're still going to like... But in a way, I was like, it's quite exciting.
Yeah.
Because we still get to sort of like be in the same sort of industry, but build our own thing. And
but also, sorry, go back to the point of like, I would not have made that next hire. But actually, already in the last week,
it's been amazing.
We've got a new rebrand for Phonik because that needed work on, because we sort of chucked it together a few years ago. We've worked on a new website. There's a new back-end system that we can write out to all of our podcast clients. There's logos and designs that I needed to do, which you wouldn't have
it's
had time
like
for.
It's like a knife every time.
That that I wouldn't have...
Stabbed so badly.
The workhorse is absolutely...
That's right. I'll get over it in time.
You'll be fine. Anyway, so that's that's what's happened. Hayley's got sacked.
Also, the exciting thing is, in mine, is that when we were discussing this, like, the kind of markets we're going after, like, you work with, I don't know, what would you say, like, more scale-up businesses that probably got quite a few staff members already.
Yeah.
And are almost like got the money to invest in real kind of like podcasting.
Yeah. Not corporate, but they're growing to get to.
And then I was like, with mine, the people, and you said it, and I was like thinking about all the people that I work with, and I'd say, so I've now got like obviously this startup offering for people just starting out, but most of my clients are those that have kind of been doing it for a few years, but they're still very much solopreneurs. They might have a couple of team members, maybe a VA, that kind of thing. And I realised that is the market that I love. I love to feel like I'm really embedding myself in them. So it's cool. We're not competitors. We've got different markets.
We have. Can we still be friends?
We can still be friends.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Great stuff. So there you go. Sacked Hayley. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, surely, that's quite muggy. You know. Oh,
and you being a mug.
Surely it's muggy to sack your wife. And
you are a mug.
That might be the case, but big news, guys. I'm not the muggiest person
that
we know, because someone has been in touch.
Oh, my goodness.
Listener Mark, all the way from glorious Essex.
Go for it.
Has been in touch, and he has been a right mug. He has had to actually send us a mug-based voice note to admit to his mugginess. He's already sent me his address, so he can have his mug. Oh, and you will see it out and about on the window cleaning rounds of Essex.
Do you know what? That is not going to do well on the...
This ain't going to do well,
I'm
going to
say.
This is going to last a week.
Because it doesn't go in the dishwasher, it does look pretty stained.
By the way, guys, can I just say that Hayley bought in the teas today. She'd got
there's
so
a little
much
bit of tea down the side, and I licked it off.
Yeah,
not with my tongue, like, just like that.
No, she's just like licking her finger and like cleaning the mug. It's like watching a little mother cat. Anyway, so this is the most muggy person. Mark, shout out to Mark. In fact, let's decide, is this muggy or not? I think it's pretty muggy.
James, I've been a mug. Something as simple as trying to get a car to start made me look like the biggest mug I know. Long story short, trying to get a car started, the battery was flat, changed the battery, car still wouldn't start. And then when I say wouldn't start, there was no noise from the starter motor. So I'm thinking, okay, it must be that.
So he does a bit of stuff with cars, does Mark? So he knows stuff about cars as well, which makes this worse.
Pain, I don't know if I can swear, it was a right bitch to get off, but I got it off. Took it to a local garage. Hey, they should be in the business shout out, actually. Anyway. Took it to a local garage, very trusted, they're very good. They did a bench test on the starter motor for me.
Stuff, right?
It was working, the starter motor. I'm like, huh, okay, this is interesting. So I took it home, put it back on. They gave
me taking the starter motor off the engine at this point.
To make sure there's enough power coming from the battery.
Check the battery.
Down to the starter motor. It was.
It's working.
I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? There's power, it works, like, what's going on? So I go inside to have a cup of tea to see if I can, like, you know, just have some inspiration. And then my girlfriend goes, you don't have to push the brake or the clutch, do you, for it to start? And me, being a bit of a mug and only driving old cars, went, no, because it's not a automatic and it's not a push start. So, no, you don't. But I'll go and try. Fuck's sake, it started first.
Hey, love it!
In a mug for about 3 weeks trying to figure this out when all I had to do was push down the pedals before I turned the key.
Oh, love it!
Mark! Oh, mug! Oh, mug!
Mark's
being a mug!
Oh, mug! Oh, mug!
Mark!
Oh, that is so good!
I love it,
his girlfriend was like, yeah, you don't just have to put your foot on the clutch.
That is exactly the sort of thing I would fall for as well, though.
You're like that all the time. We have things like that all the time, though, don't we?
The thing that I loved about it even more, like if it was me, you'd be like, oh, okay, you're a bit dumb. You're not very clever with DIY. He's taken the starter motor off. He's changed the battery. He's now checking the power between the battery and the starter motor. He knows that he takes to the garage and they do a bench test. He even knows what the fuck a bench test is. And then his missus just goes, do you have to put your foot on the brake?
I think he deserves a
jingle again. Mark.
You're going to get a mug.
Proper mugging.
Sure.
We want to see, by the way, Mark, he's one of those really cool, I'm obsessed with these sorts of videos.
Yeah.
He's a window cleaner.
Yeah.
And I met Mark quite a few years ago. Lovely, lovely fella. But he's one of them window cleaners that could do that thing really, really quick. So he does the window with the foam and he goes, and it's done. And he's like the fastest window cleaner in the West.
Oh my God, I love it. Do you think he can send us a video of him with his mug?
But he also, because of the work that he does. But Mark's basically got the best lifestyle you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
He does window cleaning. Mm. Everybody knows Mark. Everybody loves Mark. And because he's obviously doing like cafes and restaurants, he just fucking eats his way around Essex, basically. Every single day.
That.
If you go onto his social media now, I guarantee he's in a cafe. He's having a breakfast.
Legend.
And he works until he's got enough cash. Then he goes home.
I love it.
He just has a really, really nice life.
Yeah.
So shout out to Mark.
Well done.
At some point, I would like to see a Who's a Mug mug on your social media.
Don't forget, guys, if you have done something muggy or you know someone who has, you can nominate them to win one of these special mugs.
That is proper mugging. So there we go. Mark has been a bigger mug. So I might have sacked Hayley this week, but I have been a bigger mug. But I think the lesson here is...
The lesson is...
Sometimes in life, you have to take those steps, even if they're uncomfortable.
Yeah. And, you know. But then now does it mean that we're not actually officially working together? But...
No,
does that mean we have to stop the podcast?
Yeah, we probably should.
No, business marriage. We're still sort of working together.
That's all right. Oh, this is uncomfortable.
What's this noise?
This is the truck to collect your stuff because you've got to leave.
I didn't even have a desk. Is that me clearing out my desk?
Clear out your desk, yeah. And this is... This is you boxing your stuff up. You box your stuff up. This is
do you know what though?
This is you leaving the cash cow one last time.
It actually makes me feel like that made me feel really sad for those people that do get fired and they have to go and like put all their stuff in a box. That's really like made me feel.
Have you ever been sacked?
I mean, no.
You have now. Hey, who's having a good time?
I never worked for you. Let's get this right. I never worked for you.
Have you ever been sacked?
I've not been.
Guys, you'll be out in a minute. Can you just leave the MacBook?
MacBook.
Yeah, leave that. That's fine. All right, cheers, guys.
I got put on, I don't know, like garden leave.
For what?
When I went to move across in artist management. It was seen
what,
as a
instantly?
Conflict of in, yeah, like get your stuff.
And go.
And go.
Oh.
That was interesting. But yeah, no, I've never been fired.
What, like, as in like, get pack stuff now? Like, not, don't see through the end of the day, see you later, fuck off, go.
Yeah, as in here's a letter, see you later.
Here's a letter. Who had the letter?
The current employer at the time, and it just said because of...
How did they know, though?
I'd given him my notice, and then they were like...
When? Like, what's the timeline here? I'm so intrigued by
this. It was like the same day or the next day. It was almost like then it was a letter that said actually on...
Oh, so did you do it like at the end of the day sort of thing?
Well, I was like, no, I told them, I can't think. And the next day they gave me a letter that was pretty much saying that on reflection, it's conflict of interest... Putting you on garden leave so you can leave.
Garden leave is the best thing ever, though, because you basically get paid not to do the fucking job.
So, yeah. We're going to do a small business.
Hey?
Doing a small business.
Oh, of course we are. We've got to do a small business shower, haven't we? Oh, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot about this before we finished.
Stick with it.
I'm so used to feeling so guilty over here. It's time for our small business shout out, and this is a business. Sometimes we talk about businesses we like, but this. It's a business we mother flipping love.
Oh my God. So every Sunday, our two boys now go and take part in a sport that is so much fun and they absolutely love it.
Yes, indeed.
And it is run by one of the dads and mum from the school. He was a GB.
He was the team GB coach. He's like the.
For.
dinosaur baseball. Not he wasn't the coach for dinosaur baseball. It's dinosaur baseball is what he does, though.
So our small business shout out.
T-Rex T-ball is today's small business shout out.
Honestly, so he was the GB coach for baseball. And
he threw a ball in the training this weekend. Yeah. He was showing the kids like how to throw it in the net. And he's like, okay, so aim there and stand there and put your arm. Aim your elbow, because then that's going to help with the direction.
Yeah.
And then he went, so you throw it like this.
Really?
It's like a fucking rocket. It was so unbelievable. Good.
So he's put together, so he really, such a nice guy he's on a mission to really bring baseball
to the UK.
To the UK. And to make it more mainstream into schools and things. And I tell you what, like our two boys, they go on a Sunday and it is such a fun sport because there's so many different skills that are needed. And the way he runs the sessions, it's really like inclusive. It's really good fun. And he's such a nice guy as well, isn't he? And then like his wife and the grandma goes along and it's
Coach Grandma.
Such a
I love Coach
fun,
Grandma.
Fun time. So he's brilliant. Just thought we wanted to shout him out. Now, obviously, probably only appeals if you are South East London based.
Yes. Looking to expand it.
He is. Currently, they have sessions in like Croydon and sort of like Elton Way. But he's
this is a very niche shout out.
Yeah, it
for
is.
For a global
but I don't
podcast.
Care. We're allowed to.
Yeah.
We are allowed to. As we say, we will shout out anyone that we
anyone
feel.
In England who wants T Rex T Ball, so, we will bring it to you by hook or by crook.
TRexTable.com. Check them out. I just love them. Maybe you're interested in bringing baseball. Maybe you run a school or a club and, you know, you want it. So honestly, Will is amazing.
Yes, go on the website, find out more information. TRexTable.com. That is today's small business shout out.
We absolutely
love Will and we love Coach Grandma and everyone who's involved
and
in
Nikki,
T-Rex
Table. All very good.
Do you know what I like about it, especially?
What?
Because it's just a really nice, inclusive sport.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff, like you go to, I go running on Saturdays now at the moment for the marathon track.
Do you? Are you training for the marathon?
Like, football's so aggressive, isn't it?
Can be, yeah.
You know, it's all the dads like shouting on the sideline. Like, they're 6 years old, man. Like, shut up. It's not the next Cristiano Ronaldo.
Louis hanging up his football boots after a year of doing football.
He's retiring.
He's like, yeah, it's not for me.
I said it to him this morning and I said, how was football yesterday? He went, yeah, it was good. I said, did you score a goal? He went, no. I said, did you stop any goals? He went, no. I said, did you have fun though? He went, not really. And I was like, okay, great.
I feel really bad because he wanted to give it up and I was like, well, I've paid for the term, so you can do it for the rest of the
term. I don't feel bad about that. That's good. It shows consistency. And he's not actually that interested in going, but he will still go, which I think teaches him good ethics.
Teaches him. How you just punch in the table.
You will go or you will get one of these knuckle sandwiches.
But you took him this weekend, didn't you? I had a weekend of pampering, so.
And I had a weekend of fucking hell with the kids.
I know. I went away with my friend.
Oh, my God. They just went
my friend
mental.
Nay and Helen, and Helen was poorly and couldn't come, which is a real shame. So it's me and Nay went to London. Our friend Chris joined us. We went, we saw the show Moulin Rouge, as I said. Nay took me out the Shard. Oh, yay! You've taken me out the Shard before, haven't you?
Oh, yay! Only on my birthday, though. Oh, yay! Oh, actually, it was for my birthday.
And so I was having this kind of blissfully relaxing, no plan weekend.
Lovely, wasn't it?
And James was running the kids around, baseball, taking them to the office, set up with your new team members after I've been fired, and chucking milkshake around the office. So,
oh my God, I don't know what. Well, it's probably my fault in retrospect. So we got up, they got
sugar,
up super early.
Chocolate.
They had their breakfast, which they always have. They always have to have like two breakfasts. George sometimes has like three. He has to have like fruit, and then he has to have his cereal, and then he likes to have an egg and all the rest of it. They never biscuits. So all that shit already. Then when we get to the office, we've got a hot chocolate machine. So they love the hot chocolate machine just because they think it's cool.
Yeah.
So we go and make the hot chocolate and there's a whole thing. And then I took them to McDonald's and then they had a milkshake. So actually,
what did you expect?
I know, I didn't. It wasn't until I let them have the McDonald's because they're so excited about it.
This is terrible. That's why they
Fun
hate me so
it.
Much.
And then in the
so
afternoon,
great.
They're normally really well-behaved little lads. And I said, look, I've got to. So I set up all the computers and they were playing, I set up YouTube for them. They weren't really interested in that. They were playing with they take a car and a truck and they found a little football and they're kicking the football around the office and they're
Brilliant.
Running in and out of the studio
Paul,
and all
Paul's
this stuff.
Paul's loving this.
He's never listened to this shit. Don't worry about it.
It's too beneath him.
And then I said, right, I've got to make some phone calls because I had 12 people I needed to phone on that afternoon to do quick phone interviews for this potential podcast production job, right? I just need an hour, boys, okay? Can you be quiet for an hour? Daddy needs to work. Okay, cool. Fuck my life. Honest to God, George, I've never seen anything like it. George was running around throwing milkshake at Louis. Like, he's never done that before. I was like, what the fuck is going on
here?
He's
on one this week, though. He's in a weird vibe this week.
And then he came home. What did he do when he came home? Oh, that was right. So you've been misbehaving all day. Then they wanted to go out in the garden. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to let them go in the garden. I'm going to let them run themselves ragged for half an hour, even though it's like the garden's not quite spring ready for
and
outside
fox shit
use.
Out there. We've just there's got a bucket. I'm there. Like, yeah, just chuck a bucket over it.
James, the trampoline from the old house hasn't been put up yet. So they've been sliding down the trampoline and making themselves like an assault course, which was just waiting to end in an accident. Then I put them to bed. And I go to, they're brushing their teeth. I go to get their pajamas. I walk back in and Georgie stood like the Messiah on the side, like his arms like that, on the side of the bath in a set of trainers, just naked with trainers on, with the fucking toothbrush in his mouth. And I was like,
oh my God.
What are you doing? Like, if you fall over, that's going to like go down the back of your throat. You're going to die. Like, so I was so annoyed. I grabbed the toothbrush, snapped it. What are you doing? Snapped the toothbrush. That's how the toothbrush got
broken.
You
probably scarred him for life.
Good. And then he was sort of still thought it was funny. He was still like just running around naked in his trainers, like laughing his head off. So I was like, right, no books. Oh, when I said no books,
yeah, that's it.
It fucking kicked
off. Yeah,
it went fucking ballistic.
I bet you gave him a book, though.
So I'd give him a book in the end to calm him down. So because then all he gets
good.
Two.
It's good parenting that. And then when you tell him they're not going to do something,
and then they do it. Yeah, yeah. Good.
And then they still do it, and then you.
So I only gave them one of two books, though. But then the only reason I'd done the book this was because Louis. Because he was encouraging it and thought it was funny. Yeah. So I sent him to his room and George to his room. And they're like calling to each other, going, George, you okay? I'm like, shut up and get your pyjamas on. So Louis's now crying on his bed. Oh. And I was like, what's wrong with you? And he's like sobbing. And he always looks so sad. And he's such a wet little thing, isn't he? But he's crying.
I'm not allowed to say that, but yeah,
I'm sure you are. He's a bit of a snowflake. Yeah. I can call him, he's my own kid. I can call him a snowflake. He's a snowflake. And he was crying. And I said, what's wrong with you? He went, I just don't like being upset at bedtime. And I was like, what do you mean you don't like being upset at bedtime? He said, because the thing, if you go to bed sad, then you have sad dreams. Your upset carries on into your dreams. He said, because last time I was sad and I went to bed, I dreamed there was a bear in the park. And I was like, what?
So he'd had
a nightmare with a bear in the park.
See, after all of that, they still like you more than me.
It's literally
so
unbelievable, isn't it?
It's so frustrating.
It's literally unbelievable.
I'm so much more better than you.
I know, but they don't know that.
Anyway, we need to move on. Let's
there you go. Anyway, so
there
that's
we go. It. We've got rock concerts and all sorts to go to today.
Today we're going to Louis' first ever
rock concert.
Rock concert. He is
playing the keyboard for Seven Nation Army. They're playing.
Bow, 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 bow.
He reckons
bow,
he's going to walk off the stage like a rock star. So
I hope he does.
I can film it.
The band, by the way, if you want to, if you Google them, they might have a record out. They're called the Chesburgers, aren't they?
Chesburgers with a Z.
Cheeseburger with a Z.
Oh, classic.
Lol.
Love it.
If you have enjoyed today's podcast, please do let us know. Give us a 5-star review.
If you haven't,
podcast, then fuck
then
you.
Don't come back.
Yeah, don't come back. If you didn't like it, you're fired. She got fired.
You're fired.
Now you're fired. Everyone's getting fired.
If you think I'm, think James that would have fired me, let me know what you think.
Yeah, just say fired in the comments. Just let us know. And if you think, oh, actually, do you know what? She'll get on my tits as well. About time you got rid of her. Let us know that as well. Thank you very much. See you on the next episode.
Bye-bye,
good friends. Love you, goodbye.
This show is a Phonic Media production.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.